And welcome back to the show today. It's a Thursday, and I think the weather's going to warm up a little bit, which will be good for us because it's been a little chilly. Joining us now is Joshua Kane, who is a Fairfield County born and bred guy. He even graduated Staples High School. He is going to be performing his show called Borders of the Mind, the psychic show for the whole family, February 2nd at 4 p.m. Tickets are available at the Richfield Playhouse. You can go on their website or call 438-5795. And Joshua Kane has a very versatile, interesting background. He's done a lot of original creativity. He's known as a storyteller. He's known as an actor. He's known as a voiceover artist. And you might have heard his voice on many different kinds of commercial and non-commercial kinds of productions. But right now, he is very involved with being a mentalist, and we're going to find out exactly what that is. Joshua Kane, welcome to the show today. Hi.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am fine. So, Joshua, you graduated Staples High School.
I graduated Staples High School, class of 82, was a member of Staples Players, the same year as Michael Hayden and other actors of our generation, and studied with Al Pia, and that was part of my education that led me into a lifelong career as an actor and performer in the arts.
Did you always have that distinctive voice?
Actually, when I was a kid, I stuttered.
Really?
I was tongue-tied, and my voice was certainly not free the way it is today. And that's one of the things I've been very grateful for in my theatrical training, is being able to learn to breathe well and speak well and connect with people and communicate better.
So wait a minute, Joshua Kane. I want to ask a little bit about this. Did you conquer a stutter?
Well, there was stuttering at times as part of it. I was a very tense kid. I was a very odd kid in many ways. I was reclusive, and I lived in a world of books most of the time. My family background was a little bit different than others. My mother was a realtor in New York, and my parents were divorced back before divorce was fashionable. And at one point, we turned our home into a rooming house. And we had different people coming in to live with us, ranging from the superintendent of schools to two French girls who had turned out were in the country illegally, to a cop who was a police officer who was moonlighting as a mailman, we found out later.
Wow.
And so I grew up with very interesting people, and I've been fortunate that way because it's led me to look at things differently, and looking at things differently leads to creativity.
Yeah, of course it does. Absolutely. And living that kind of a life gets you to be observing people in a very different, interesting
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And as a mentalist is a kind of the kind of entertainment it is, it's a magical experience. And as a mentalist, I create the appearance of mind reading. I use my collective senses to create the illusion of an extra sense. When I was 13 years old, I met a gentleman by the name of Gary Lee Williams. He was a mentalist in New York City. He was also one of the bodyguards to the Dalai Lama. And Gary Lee took an interest in me. And he had me read books on body language by Nirenberg and Carlo and Julius Fast, How to Develop a Superpower Memory by Harry Lorraine, the first book on neurolinguistic programming by Bandler and Grindler called Frogs into Princesses. His goal was to turn me into a young Sherlock Holmes and then apply those kinds of observational and communication skills to the format of the mentalist. So in my show, it's a little bit different than other mentalists and magicians that people may have seen. The show isn't about me. It's about the people who come to the theater. In Borders of the Mind, I detect the latent psychic abilities of members of the audience and bring them up on stage to have them accomplish extraordinary things. Together, we're going to play a series of games. And within the context of the games that we play on stage, incredible acts of synchronicity take place. And it really is quite remarkable watching the audience come in, because they're self-selecting, the audience who comes to this kind of show. First of all, it's a family-friendly show. And the show, I like to say, is for everyone who wishes that they had ever gotten a letter from Hogwarts. Or wish that what was odd about them as a teenager would turn out to be a latent superpower like in the X-Men. Or that at some point in their life, someone would stop and point a finger at them and say, you are the one like Neo in The Matrix.
I see.
And it's an opportunity on Super Bowl Sunday, before the game starts, for families to come together and experience an event where they're going to walk out questioning their own ability to expand their potential in communication and making interesting things happen. Because when we're in the theater together, we create an ephemeral experience. By showing up, the audience who comes changes the event. The show is different every single time. And the people who come to the event will make phenomenal things happen. And they will have extraordinary conversations to have in their families the next day as well.
We're chatting with Joshua Cain, and this event is at the Ridgefield Playhouse February 2nd, 203-333-9422, if you've got a question or a comment for Joshua. So you're not claiming, Joshua, that you have supernatural powers. You're not claiming, as so many mediums do, that you're actually getting messages
from another world. No. I do not speak to the dead any more than anybody else speaks to their dead grandmother, and she never answers.
Okay.
I do not have any abilities which are beyond other people's potential normally. I'm an extraordinarily keen observer. Mm-hmm. I have the ability to create situations, as I said, where synchronicity will have a higher chance of happening. We all communicate at far more greater levels than we think we do when we are together. And when we are actually present and breathing the same space, incredible connections take place. Think about the times when you've known who it was calling before
all
you
the
answered
time.
The phone.
All the time.
And I don't mean caller ID.
No.
Those genuine moments when you are in sync with somebody else, you
totally.
Have a need, and they pick up the phone and call.
But if that's not supernatural, what is it? What
I think it's part.
Yeah, go ahead.
If it happens to so many of us, how can it be beyond the natural? I think too often we gloss over and miss the extraordinary moments in our lives. And what a theater experience or art in any form is about the compression of moments, the sifting away from the everyday to acknowledge and experience the extraordinary elements that are happening, but too often we skip past in the rush with our technology to get to the next thing.
So I'm thinking about that, and I'm pondering what you just said. We're chatting with Joshua Cain. So, for example, when I'm really sort of in the groove and in my zone, and I used to have an assistant next to me, Kara, and she would say it was positively weird because any time I would focus on another human being, they would call me. Now, don't make fun of me. It's true. And I would just, I would send this energy out, and it wouldn't maybe happen within 5 minutes, but it usually happened within a day. And I would just say, I want to reach so-and-so. I'm thinking about so-and-so. Maybe so-and-so will come on the show. And they would end up pinging us. And it was bizarre.
Well, Lisa, I went and read your bio online. And looking at the kind of work you do as a family probate judge, that is one of the things you do, I believe.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
You have to have incredible sensitivity in dealing with people in those situations. Your awareness of the unspoken signals, the body language, and the presence and the change of breath shows in the room gives you so much more information than the words which have been spoken. Am I correct?
100%, which is why whenever I'm in doubt, I have a hearing.
Absolutely.
Because I don't, well, there are many judges, there are many, the way the world works nowadays, Joshua, is many. Much of our judicial process takes place what we call on the papers. But I made a decision when I became a judge that I was going to be the kind of a judge known for having a lot of hearings because I actually accumulate a lot more information by people being in the room than just on the submission of papers.
And that is why it is clear to me that you are somebody who understands the value of story. And as you noted, I started out many years ago as a storyteller in the state of Connecticut, serving as a master teaching artist. And I told stories to hundreds of schools throughout the state, hundreds of thousands of school children over the years. And I learned that story and narrative, both on the page and in our daily lives, is our only experience of the world. Mm-hmm. And we notice when there is something off in a narrative, when there is something in a story, as it's been told, that does not line up with the circumstances as they naturally flow. And that draws the eye and the ear. So you in that situation and I on stage in the situation with stories that I'm creating and telling, we are able to pick up on the signals. And by applying what we know from experience about those kinds of signals, we can then make projections which often have astonishing accuracy. So you already do in your job as a judge much of the work that I'm doing in this show as a mentalist on stage. And one of the things which I will be doing at one point during the show is lie detection. There'll be several opportunities where I will have people on stage have the opportunity to lie. And the audience and I together will be looking for the signals to detect when the lying is taking place. And then I'm going to bring up some kids on stage, give them the opportunity to lie, and show the tells which naturally come about when people start withholding information. Because it is harder to tell, it is harder to tell a lie in public than it is to tell the truth.
Yeah.
It takes effort to tell a lie.
Totally.
And the body and the voice create very substantial changes, which the trained eye and ear can pick up on. And that is part of what I actually do.
That is so interesting. That I, have you ever been somebody who decided to hire yourself out for selection of juries?
There's an attorney in Norwalk, Connecticut, who has approached me recently asking if I would come and be available to participate in jury selection. I would not say that I would be an expert for that. I'm always leery of that kind of terminology.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm in a room breathing and being present with other people, then I will be able to actually pick up when changes take place. But we have to have baselines to begin with.
That's right.
So until there's been enough information to start to apply a neutral to,
yeah,
we cannot see the deviations. And but, within the games on stage, I have enough experience to see those deviations very quickly. And at times, things which do appear to be genuinely psychic or supernatural or beyond do happen on stage. Because when people come together with goodwill and on the same breath, things do happen. I tell my audience, if there's anybody who would not clap for Tinkerbell at the end of Peter Pan, please get a refund and leave now.
Right,
because
right.
The cynicism and creativity do not live well in the same space, and we're inviting people to come with a playful nature. I'm not looking to fool people. I'm looking to enthuse people, to give them a chance to live an experience in the theatrical context.
It sounds like it's going to be a fantastic show. It's going to be February. You said Super Bowl Sunday is February 2nd. This is how much I know about
February
Super Bowl.
February 2nd at 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
It's, you know, the show is about 90 minutes. Plenty of time for people to leave the theater and get home in time to cook the wings for the game.
Let me ask you one other thing.
That the Richfield Playhouse has done that.
It's wonderful. They're the best. Joshua Kane, I have one other question for you. In the world, you've mentioned that somebody early on took you under their wing, but in a world in which what you do has to be, by necessity, kept secret and proprietary, because otherwise it spoils the fun for everybody else, how do you learn how to do these exercises or tricks or whatever we want to call them? How do you learn how to do them? Who teaches you?
I would say the first basics are to actually learn basic acting.
Mm.
And basic acting is about being present and being authentic and available in the moment. And when we are present and authentic and available in the moment, remarkable things happen in our lives. That's when we fall in love with people. It's when we're not present with others that we fall out of love and we find conflict. When we are genuinely present with people and breathe the same way and inhabit the space and have empathy, and empathy is a large part of the work that I use on stage, then we can make things happen. And I want people to come out of the show having had an extraordinary experience together. I want them to feel a new connection to their community. The Arts Center is the last place outside of a public library where we all come together from different religious denominations and political affiliations to create an ephemeral event that by showing up, the community has changed it and made something special happen together. There's an act of love and an act of community in coming to events like these.
I think it's going to be absolutely wonderful, Joshua Kane. If I can, I'll be there myself February 2nd at 4 p.m. You've definitely intrigued me. I think you're probably going to do a fantastic event. And thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Me too. Joshua Kane on The Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.